It's time for another episode of Corner of the Galaxy from the Box, the show that gets you behind the scenes of the LA Galaxy and into the minds of soccer reporters and MLS experts. Your hosts for the day are Corner of the Galaxy's Josh Gessman and LA Times soccer reporter Kevin Baxter. Let's start the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy from the Box on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Gessman, Mr. Kevin Baxter with you once again. We have a fun little show prepared for you today. Glad to be back sort of from the off week. Didn't have a Thursday show. This was the only show that everybody really got to listen to last week. So we're glad to be back and providing some more LA Galaxy talk as the LA Galaxy get ready for their Saturday game against the Vancouver Whitecaps. Now, we're lucky enough to have Kevin joining us on via Skype. We'll say that that's where he's at right now because he's all the way in Panama covering the U.S. men's national team's game on Tuesday night against Panama in Panama City. So, Kevin, welcome from abroad. How are things going?
I'm down here with Jermaine Jones.
You and Jermaine Jones are down in Panama. I heard it was hot and muggy and a bit crazy today.
Well, yeah, it was. Just trying to get to we had a round table with Bruce Arena and then trying to get to training at the stadium. The U.S. team got a small police escort to their to training. The Panamanian team trained after the U.S. They came in with their bus was surrounded by about a dozen police officers on motorcycles, probably more than that, actually, on motorcycles, all carrying drawn automatic weapons. They weren't like holstered or tucked away. They were out pointed into space in case anyone tried to approach the Panamanian team. I really wasn't aware that it was that dangerous down here if you're a football player, but apparently it is.
Yeah, apparently it is. Well, I'm glad that you're well protected, or at least you seem to be. Maybe they're gonna. Maybe if you don't write a good story, Kevin, they'll point them at you.
Yeah, I got to watch out for that.
That could definitely be it. So as Kevin is working away, getting ready for that U.S. men's national team game, we have him for a little bit here. So we want to talk about some L.A. Galaxy-centric news, Kevin. And the first thing we want to talk about is, of course, the performance and the injury of Sebastian Legette. Played in the U.S. men's national team game, gets a start in the World Cup qualifier, scores a goal in the fifth minute, takes a tackle, I think, in the 15th minute. And by the 18th minute, he's already subbed out. What did you see from Sebastian Legette in his brief appearance, and what do we know about his injury?
Well, we know that the injury, apparently, the U.S. soccer team sent him home the next day. That wasn't a surprise for a couple of reasons. One, I think Bruce is real good about getting players back to their teams if they're not going to play for the U.S. national team or not going to be considered. I don't think Sebastian was going to play as well as he played. And he only played 15 minutes, but he played very well. A lot of players came away impressed. Alejandro Bedoya was one that talked about how even in the January camp and what he saw of Sebastian Legette and heard about Sebastian Legette, he was the one guy that he really came away impressed by. And Bruce Arena had a lot of nice things to say about Sebastian, about what a good player he is and how well he reads the game. But having said all that, Sebastian was probably not going to play in Panama. He played in the game against Honduras because Jermaine Jones was suspended. And the thinking going into this all along was that when Jermaine's suspension was up and he's eligible for the Panama game, that Sebastian would go back to the bench. So having said all that, they sent him back to L.A. to have his ankle examined. It looks like it's just a very bad sprain. There was some concern at some point. It might have been a slight fracture. The way that Sebastian was not able to run on it and the way he went down on the field in the middle of the game. So disappointing for him is a sprain. I don't know, you know, how long the rehab is going to be. It looked pretty serious. And so I would have to think he's, unless he returns to training this week, I would have to think he's real questionable for this weekend in Vancouver, especially on artificial turf. But the good news is Sebastian scored a goal for the national team in his first appearance in a competitive game, impressed a lot of people, and I definitely think he's going to be back. He's only 24. Jermaine Jones did say down here in Panama this week that he was retiring after the World Cup. Now, whether that means he was retiring from international competition or retiring, he'll be 37 by then. It looks like Sebastian, that could definitely open a spot for Sebastian on the national team.
Yeah, it is interesting how all of the national team things sort of seem to pivot around the LA Galaxy, even whenever, I think this year maybe maybe people didn't expect that Sebastian Legette would be part of this U.S. men's national team team. And with Jossie Zardes getting injured, you know, you thought maybe the Galaxy would have sort of a limited exposure with these national team and the national team absences that they possibly could have and sustain. So anybody who always freaks out, Kevin, about injuries during national team got a wonderful little jolt in the 15th minute there whenever Sebastian Legette was taken down from behind. And like you said, sort of glad it's not as serious. There was a social media picture going out there. I think Sebastian either snapped it or put it on Instagram, and it showed him in crutches, and so that wasn't a good sign either. But so far, just hearing a sprained foot, and I would say that he's most definitely out for this week. I just don't see like there's any reason to even push him, even if it's 100% better tomorrow. The guy was in crutches two days ago, Kevin. There's probably no point in rushing him back, especially whenever it looks like the LA Galaxy are going to get some guys back for this game. Ashley Cole, Jossie Zardes are both, I think, expected to be available for selection on Saturday. Now, you brought up the carpet and the turf up at BC Place in Vancouver, whether or not this is a good spot for them to return. But, you know, those two guys could be available for this game, and I think could be available for selection if Kurt Onofo wants to play them. You also, I think, had a little update on Gio as well, right?
Yeah, Gio returned to training today. I don't know what his situation is, whether this is enough time to get him ready. Again, he's got a leg injury. Coming back on turf might not be the best idea for him. I think with Ashley and Giassi, I think Kurt Onofo has been very patient with them and has, definitely not rushed them back. But I think there is a sense that they need to get on the field eventually, and this is the week to do that. And yes, they're playing on artificial turf, and I'm sure the Galaxy will monitor that. Maybe neither guy goes a full 90 minutes, but they need to start introducing some of these players back into the lineup. I would really Giassi almost. My understanding was Giassi was almost going to make the trip to Real Salt Lake for the last game, and at the last minute, the physios decided that he wasn't quite ready. I think Ashley has been training and is ready as well. I definitely expect both those guys to make the trip. I expect them to play, maybe not the full 90 minutes. Gio, I'm kind of a little bit on the fence with that one. If Giassi's back, you know, maybe that takes some of the pressure off. They can give Gio another week or two to get ready. Jermaine Jones is another guy that in my mind is questionable. And the reason for that is it's very hot and humid down here in Panama. I expect him to play a full 90 minutes tomorrow against Panama. And that's Tuesday night, late Tuesday night. And by the time he flies back on a red eye Wednesday morning, I'm not sure that that's enough time for him to fully recover. Again, you know, he's 36 years old, to fully recover and get ready to play a game in Vancouver again on turf. So the Galaxy could be without two midfielders and Sebastian Legette and Jermaine Jones.
Yeah, which is, I mean, if you're looking at where the LA Galaxy are possibly the deepest on their roster, midfield's probably that place. I mean, there's lots of guys who can play there. You have Pedro who can play there. You have Baggio Husidic who played with the LA Galaxy 2s last week. You have some other guys who can play there. I'm not saying they're the best options, whenever you look at what the long-term health of players is here, Kevin, it's more important for guys like Jermaine Jones to be 100% fit and ready and recovered from a game down in Panama instead of playing, you know, an early season game in Vancouver on the turf after making that extremely long journey. So in my mind, play it safe with some of these guys. But at the same time, I think that, like you said, that with Jossie Zardes and with Ashley Cole, Kurt Onofo has not rushed them back. And perhaps this is the most reasonable time for them to come back into this team.
But, you know, you talk about the midfield depth, and that's true. But the problem is both of the guys who you would think would be, I know Sebastian typically plays on a wing for the Galaxy, but the two guys that you might want to use as sort of your attacking midfielder and the playmaker would be Sebastian and Jermaine Jones. And if they're both out, and you put Baggio Husidic in there in central midfield, he's kind of redundant with João Pedro. So what you have a very defensive team, although Boateng obviously would then go in on the wing, where Sebastian normally would be. So you have two really good wingers, two speedy wingers, two playmaking wingers, and Alessandrini and Boateng is very offensive-minded. And then two holding midfielders, it's kind of a little bit of a strange lineup.
Well, it is. It gets into sort of empty bucket and the fact that you were not going to have a lot of pressure coming up the center of the field. But, you know, you could put somebody else in there if you wanted to. I just realistically think that Jermaine Jones coming back at 35, you made him a year older, Kevin. He's only 35. He's not 36 yet. All right.
Sorry, Jermaine.
Yeah,
he's
going to start getting upset about that. 35 years old. You don't need to be pressing him. Again, it's short-term you know, performance with the LA Galaxy versus long-term performance with the LA Galaxy and what you need to do in order to keep some of these guys healthy. But Ashley Cole, Giassi Zardes, it's time to get them back. I don't think the turf is a realistic obstacle to those two guys coming back. I want to say that I was watching the LA Galaxy Snapchat where I get all of my information, just so that way you know. That's my secret is the LA Galaxy Snapchat. It looks like Brian Rowe was back in training as well. Not sure if that's full training or whether or not that is, he's just started to be reintroduced. But I know some people are wondering whether or not Brian Rowe will be back to the number one position versus Vancouver. And I think that if he's just coming back to training, if he's training this week and he does all those things, I still think that it's going to be Diop to start in Vancouver. Not because I don't think Brian Rowe isn't still the number one. I think he is. But at the same time, with him coming off an injury, again, we talk about not rushing it, Kevin. This is one of those not rushing it, and Diop has played well in relief of Brian Rowe.
Yeah, I think he would have been the starter, you know, either way. It's nice to see Brian back, though. That was part of Kurt's plan, was to have those two guys compete for the job and to push each other. And if one guy is hurt, you really can't push the other guy. So that's another good sign. You know, the Galaxy... everyone talked about the record and you look at the standings and it doesn't look great, but you know, they have been missing a lot of key guys and they're starting to get some of those guys back now. And I think the second half of the game against Real Salt Lake, there was a lot of good things that happened. I think maybe they're starting to find their stride and getting the full lineup back on the field. Again, I know we've talked about that. People are tired of hearing us say it, but I'm still not prepared to give a full thumbs up or thumbs down this Galaxy team yet because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, no, you've seen pieces. I've said that I think this Galaxy team is a second half team. That being said, I need to see a better first half out of a team like this. So regardless of whether they played up a man or down a man, in the second half, they seem to play better. So now I'm waiting to see sort of the first half come together as well to be able to put it together from the very beginning, especially going up against Vancouver up on the turf in BC Place. You know, it's not a horrible travel day considering it's in the same time zone. So for the most part, jet lag can go a little bit out the window with that. Not as bad as the trip as you're making, Kevin, which will be from Panama to Vancouver. If I'm correct.
Yes, I think I'm the only one making that trip.
Jermaine Jones is going to be making that trip.
No, probably not. A lot of players will probably be on my flight though, because it's the first commercial flight out. And my understanding is Bruce Arena is letting players go. They don't need to take the charter back. If they're going to the West Coast with a West Coast team, they can go there. And if they're going to the East Coast, then I guess they do go on the charter. But yeah, I expect a few of the West Coast, maybe Chris Wondolowski, maybe Jermaine will be on my flight to Houston and then get off and transfer to LA.
Yeah. So it'll be sort of interesting to see how that goes. But again, I mean, you're right. It's time to see some of these pieces start to come together. The LA Galaxy, despite the injury to Sebastian Legette, have had a couple games without injuries, and we don't have any suspensions this time. The Galaxy aren't facing any suspensions that I know of. At least disciplinary committee hasn't pulled any rabbits out of a hat yet to suspend Dave Romney for something again. So whenever you look at that, it's going to be interesting to see the team that comes back. Yella Van Dam back from suspension against Vancouver, so we get to watch that. It's going to be really interesting to see how the LA Galaxy team starts to reintegrate some of these pieces for a team that won against Real Salt Lake. Yes, they won when they were up a man, and yes, that makes a difference. But at the same time, Kevin, you know, it's time to see some of these pieces come together. Before we get to some listener questions, I want to talk real quick, just a heads up and a hey, if you were seeing on Twitter there that Dan Gargan, former LA Galaxy player, former LA Galaxy broadcaster on Spectrum Sportsnet, Time Warner Sportsnet before that, Dan Gargan got a job with the Atlanta United broadcast team. So Dan Gargan looks like he's making that transition from player into broadcaster now, going away from the Galaxy even and going over with Atlanta United. So congratulations to Dan Gargan. I think it's interesting to see these guys transition, Kevin. You look at a guy like Dan Kennedy now, who is officially not with the team, although we have no idea what the mechanism is for his release. But he is in the quote-unquote radio booth for the LA Galaxy right now doing commentary there. It's interesting to see which players go from player to broadcaster and can make that transition like smoothly.
Well, I think it's interesting if anyone out there is thinking about going to journalism school, learning broadcasting, maybe they should try soccer. And then when they're ready to retire, they go straight into a broadcast booth.
Sometimes
Kobe Jones,
Yeah.
Toby Jones is in it. Landon Donovan. A lot of ex-Galaxy guys. We should do a Galaxy alumni show someday and just talk about where everybody is.
You could do that, and they would be all over the place. And you saw Landon Donovan was in the booth for the U.S. men national team when they took on Honduras for Fox Sports there with Stu Holden and I think John Strong. So all those guys were doing it. But, yeah, I mean, it is interesting. I think sometimes that we give too much reverence to former players thinking that they can be broadcasters, Kevin, and I think that makes for some awkward broadcasts. I'm certainly going to say that I think that's the case with some broadcasters that you see out there. But at the same time, you know, you get that real world experience. I think that one of the best transitions that I've ever seen is, of course, Brian Dunseth, who's been on this show many, many times. The guy is a natural at broadcast. Maybe he just never shuts up. Maybe that's the key for Brian Dunseth, but he's great at it, and always look forward to his stuff. But anyway, just wanted to throw that out there.
Just before we go away, the guy I like, and I actually got a chance to talk to him about it yesterday, is Tim Howard. He did a lot of work on EPL for NBC last year when he was still at Everton. He is excellent, and I really enjoy his perspective because he gives a perspective as a goalkeeper. And remember, the goalkeeper is the only guy on the field that sees the whole field the whole time.
Right.
You know, he didn't turn his back. And just Tim Howard's insight about what players are doing, even attacking players, what they were thinking and what they were trying to do, and then what the goalie was thinking and how he was going to counter them. I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Tim Howard is one of those guys. I would say that also goalkeepers make great commentators because they're generally crazy. Maybe not crazy in like a loud, boisterous way, but they think differently than everybody else. It's been my opinion. I've seen that. That's a generalization if you want to take it. But yeah, it's a lot of fun that way.
We talked about that once where there's so many players, and you know, it happens in a lot of different sports. Catchers seem to make the best managers in baseball again because they're the one position that sees the whole field. And it seems like goalies and holding midfielders. You know, Bruce Arena was a goalkeeper in his playing days. Those guys seem to make the best coaches. And again, because they see the whole field and know how you know, different players, how a midfielder interacts with a forward and then how to organize a back line. It just seems as if goalkeepers seem to make the best coach. Goalkeepers, or at least holding midfielders, seem to make the best coaches. And if you look down at some of the great international coaches, you'll find that largely to be true. Guys who were strikers, you know, Jurgen Klinsmann was a striker. I'm not going to say Jurgen Klinsmann was a bad coach, but as a striker becoming a coach, especially at that level, he's a rarity. It's more like the Bruce Arena types who wind up becoming the top coaches.
I was going to say, who's a lacrosse player? Bruce Arena.
Well, and I believe Kurt Anoff was a defender, right? And so, you know, here's another guy, a defender, a guy who, again, you know, spent most of his time watching the field as opposed to turning his back and running after a ball.
Yeah, Greg Berhalter, another example of that. Columbus Crew played with the LA Galaxy as a defender, U.S. Men's National Team player. So, I can certainly see it, and I tend to agree. I think Kobe Jones does a very good job for being a guy who was one of those sort of strikers, midfielders, wingers, that type of thing. So, you know, yeah, it's all different, but glad for Dan Gargan that he got the job with Atlanta United, so you can follow him around there. But congratulations, Dan. I'm sure, you know, if there's any other like sort of broadcasters the LA Galaxy get, we'll announce that too. Why not? It was a slow news week, so we're bringing you a little bit of everything. But let's get to some listener questions. John at Flying Soccer Dad on Twitter asked us about any additional information on Keepergate. Will return to the number one, and I think we already answered that. Just because of his injury right now, I wouldn't expect that he's back in that number one position. I expect Diop to still start in Vancouver. The next game, if everybody's healthy, now it's on. Now it's on, Kevin. Kevin Kurtanoffel will have gone with Clément Diop for, I think, three games in a row. And will he switch it back to Brian Rowe? I think that's going to be the real question. So not this game, but the next game against Montreal at home, I think is the interesting one.
Yeah, and I don't think a rotation is in anyone's best interest because the defenders have to then adjust to a new goalkeeper each time. You know, people just want things different ways. Tim Howard was talking the other day with the national team how some guys communicate, some guys don't. And if, say, a left back is very talkative, you know, like he said, Biafania is with the national team, that helps him. Sometimes a back isn't that talkative, and then the goalkeeper has to step in and help him out. So, you know, and the communication is, I need help, you know, there's a runner coming, whatever it is. There has to be some communication and familiarity between the defenders and the goalkeeper. And if you're changing goalkeeper every week, that doesn't really work. However, Kurtanoffel does want that competition. Now, whether he's talking about competition just on the practice pitch, or whether he's talking about, you know, Brian Rowe's going to get the chance next week and we'll see how he does. And you know, I'm not quite sure what his thinking is now. We haven't had enough time with two healthy keepers to find out. But I would hope, you know, I would hope and I would think he's probably not going to go with a straight rotation, at least let guys play three or four games in a row. And then if he's going to switch out, then let the other guy have a couple of days, a couple of games in a row, if that's the philosophy that he has.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. That is the point. And so, again, I think it's that Montreal game right now, if everybody's healthy, where you can reasonably focus in. Now, one of the things to sort of keep an eye on is if Rowe even makes the bench, still coming off this injury, this shoulder knock. It was said to be pretty minor. I would expect that he would make the bench, but as the number two in this week and then next week up for grabs, flip the coin, we can really start to figure out whether or not it's going to be a little bit of a keeper controversy, a little keeper gate going on with the LA Galaxy, which always makes for some interesting talking points. Although I think both of these guys aren't going to be ones who are going to throw either one of them, either one of their opponents under the bus there. Brian Rowe's not going to throw Diop under the bus, and Diop's not going to throw Rowe under the bus. So it might be a little mundane. But at the same time, I can't believe either of them will be happy being the number two after sort of this stretch. So
no, and if they are happy, that defeats the whole purpose of the competition that Kurnanoff was trying to engender.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. All right, let's go to our next question from at Dal Data. That's Dallin. Dallin says, if, and he capitalized if, you know, in all caps. So if Gio continues not stepping up and not occupying the space and all of these sort of issues persist that we saw with Robbie Keane, and maybe, Kevin, you've pointed out we've seen a little bit this year, what should be done next?
I don't know that you can do anything next. He's a designated player. I know Galaxy management was extremely unhappy when their two high-priced designated players, Steven Gerrard and Robbie Keane, were on the bench at the end of last season. That was partly because injury and partly because they weren't effective. I think a guy like Gio is going to be given every chance to write things on the field. I don't think they're going to pull the plug this early, and especially now, you know, that he's coming back off an injury. I think the problem is they need to find a role that he can succeed in, and I still think there's some chemistry problems with Alessandrini and Gio. And then the other thing is Gio hasn't played with Jesse Zardes,
right?
And I thought those two played very well when they're on the field together last year. Maybe a healthy Jesse Zardes returning will turn things around for Gio, but I do see a lot of hesitancy, which we saw last year with Robbie Keane. A lot of you know, he was very deferential to Robbie Keane because Robbie was the guy that brought him along when he first went to the EPL. And then, you know, when he came to this team, Robbie was the MVP and was the team captain. So Gio necessarily was deferential to Robbie and let Robbie take the position. But I do think that Gio tends to needs to be a little bit more aggressive with Alessandrini and say, look, this is where I'm going to play. You play around me. I think those two have some problems they need to work out. They do seem to try to wind up at the same place at the same time. And then Alessandrini forces forward and Gio then all of a sudden becomes a non-factor. I think it's a chemistry problem, and I would expect a lot of it to work itself out when Jesse Zardes comes back.
Yeah, I think some of that will happen. I think the Jesse Zardes coming back will help Gio. I think that Gio getting healthy in the first couple of games, we saw perhaps a Gio that wasn't healthy, Kevin, and if that's the case, that he was struggling throughout those first couple games, then realistically, you know, there could be maybe we need to cut him more slack here. I'll tell you what happens if Gio is not stepping up, and you said he needs to find a role where, you know, he can be effective, and it's not just effective but consistently effective, because I think that's the biggest knock on Giovanni Dos Santos is that he disappears for long periods of time, and that he's a non-factor sometimes. Again, may have been injured at the beginning of the year, so we'll see how that how him coming back from injury and perhaps being healthy affects the way he's able to combine with some of those other players. But what will happen is that you know, the Galaxy are going to go out and make a big signing striker. You know, if it's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, as we know that they have gone after him, you know, that's sort of one of those things. It's sort of like, hey, Gio, you know, if we're not 100% convinced that you're the star that we need, we're going to put somebody at the striker role that we know we can get it. Yes, you're still going to be on the field. But again, if Zlatan shows up, Kevin, Gio's taking a back seat to Zlatan. Zlatan gets to play where he wants to play.
Right. And the other thing is we heard this in the offseason when Robbie went and they didn't bring Steven Gerrard back. And then even some of the other pieces, Alan Gordon, Mike McGee that left, Landon Donovan, of course, you know, the talk was, this is Gio's team. This, you know, Gio is the guy now. He's our high priced guy. He's our marquee player. Yes, they brought in Alessandrini, and yes, they made him a designated player, but he doesn't have the cachet, especially in a very Mexican heavy community like Los Angeles. Gio is the guy.
He is.
It, really, both on and off the field. And he needs to step up and assume that role. And maybe this was a little unfair of the Galaxy to push this on him. Maybe, you know, Gio's personality is he's a complementary piece. as far as the organization goes. Yes, on the field he can do a lot of wonderful things, but maybe he's not comfortable being in the spotlight, and maybe that's part of it too.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, if it comes down to the end of the season, I'm going to suggest they do the same thing that they did if it all goes... Listen, this is if it all goes sideways, all right? I don't expect it to. I expect Gio to be able to find his place when he's healthy. I expect him to be able to step up and score goals. And if he doesn't, if he is a guy who continually disappears, if you're not getting the production out of him, if he's occupying a spot where somebody else would do better, then I think the same answer is the same thing with Robbie Keane and Steven Gerrard. You bench them. And yes, they're a designated player. And Kevin, we agree, your designated players have to be impact players. But if they are not going to help the team, then the best thing the team can do is not put them on the field. And if that means that that is the eventual death of the Geo and the LA Galaxy, then that's what happens. That is, of course, extreme scenario number like 17 out of all the scenarios that could sort of come back. But see a healthy Geo first, see him playing with guys like Giassi Zardes the way that he was effective last year, and then we can sort of make these decisions. But anyway,
remember, it was only 2 months ago we were talking about a Geo-Jonathan reunion in the middle of the Galaxy midfield, and those were going to be the guys who were going to carry him to the promised land, and everything looked rosy for the Dos Santos family, and now all of a sudden you're talking about maybe pull the plug and it's the end of the Dos Santos era.
I think there's a reason, Kevin, that after the LA Galaxy got realistically who they quote-unquote wanted with Joao Pedro, with Jermaine Jones, with Roman Alessandrini, getting those guys, that Jonathan Dos Santos doesn't even make sense on this team anymore, and the Galaxy have said they're not going to go after people unless they quote-unquote fit, right? Does Jonathan Dos Santos fit on this team right now, or is he better than Gio? Do you get Jonathan to eventually phase out Gio?
Well, that would be a tough thing given the participation of their father in all things Dos Santos related.
It is. So anyway, that's a whole nother can of worms. It's an interesting thought circle to sort of go down the tubes with, though. However, let's go on to a next question. It says this one's from Adam at Adam O. Brown. I always screw up people's Twitter names. They're always way more clever than I can ever figure out. So at Adam O. Brown on Twitter says, if Cole is fit, does Romney or Smith slot into right back? Love Rafa, but prefer a natural back there. So Rafa Garcia has been doing a decent enough job in the last couple games. Kevin, I can't fault him specifically and point at him and say he's been horrible and he's the reason. He hasn't been, but Nathan Smith has looked very comfortable in defense. You can give him some credit in the RSL second half turnaround as well. Are you ready to put Nathan Smith in at right back with Ashley Cole at left back?
Well, you can't play Romney there. We know that, or he would have been playing there in the first place.
Right.
Because remember, when Rafa Garcia started playing there, Ashley was still healthy. So the determination was just made that Dave Romney can't play on that side. As far as Nathan Smith, we talked a little bit about this last week. Yeah, he had a great game against Real Salt Lake when he came off the bench, and he kind of changed the team. And I think that he's definitely getting some consideration for a starting job. But, you know, another thing to take into consideration is the same way that they used Boateng. Is it better to put him out there and play a full 90 minutes and get what you're going to get in 90 minutes? Or is he the kind of personality and the kind of player that is a game changer? I think you saw that with Nathan Smith when he came off the bench. He was a game changer. Does he provide that same sort of spark for 90 minutes? And I know that sounds like a dumb question. If you've decided that this player is the more effective guy, why not play him 90 minutes? Well, because the game changes when you bring a guy in late in the game. The opposing team is tired. There's been a style of play for both teams that has already been established. And a smart guy like Nathan Smith can look out there and say, okay, I see what they're doing. I know how to disrupt that. Whereas opposed to a guy who starts the game, a good part of that first half is spent feeling out the other team and trying to determine what they are attempting to do. So, I definitely think he's in that conversation. I know that the team has got to be talking about that. But, you know, my opinion is maybe let's see what happens. Maybe give him a start and see, how wrong I am. But he may be just one of those guys I still think Boateng is just way more effective off the bench. And so maybe Nathan Smith is like that too. But I guess we won't know until we give those guys a start, right?
Yeah, it's one of those questions. It's like, and with Boateng, I think I'm 100% in agreement with you that I still love him off the bench. Unless he's playing RSL, then let him play on 90 minutes because he's going to score like 30 goals and make them look foolish. But, with Boateng, I still like him off the bench more than anything because he gives you a change of pace. I'm not sure Nathan Smith gives you a change of pace. He's just a more... box to box, and this is going to be, you know, an incorrect term of box to box, but like a box to box defender. He's a guy who can play defense. He's not extremely fast, so, you know, you're giving up some speed on the outside. I think Rafa might be faster than Nathan Smith, but Nathan Smith does a better job with his positioning, Kevin, and I like that. So is that more of a 90-minute player? And him going forward, he's more of a going forward guy than Rafa Garcia is. Garcia is going to give you more defense than offense, and he was that way whenever he played midfield as well. So, I mean, that's just sort of in his genes. But with Nathan Smith can get up to the side, and, you know, Smith has shown that he's able to cross the ball into the box as well. I mean, that's the type of thing. And if you're going to play him with, you know, Legette's out, so you could probably have, you know, Roman Alessandrini playing on the right-hand side and then Boateng on the left-hand side. I guess you could split-flop those and have them both cut inside. That works as well. But for me, if you want to have somebody who I think might be, you know, a smarter natural position, even as Adam says, you know, a smarter natural at right back, it might be Nathan Smith. I'm all for giving him the start against Vancouver if we want to try that out. And Kevin, you could be right. He could be a better sub than he is a 90-minute player.
A couple of things in what you just said. You know, if he's going to go box to box, that's hard to do for 90 minutes.
It is.
So maybe either A, he plays differently when he comes off the bench, or does he have the stamina to go, the fitness to go box to box for 90 minutes? And then you talk about going forward. Yeah, that's true. And maybe that's why I thought that he was a little bit of a game changer, because when he did come in, all of a sudden everybody was going forward. But, you know, you have a back line where Yella Van Dam loves to go forward.
Yep.
Ashley Cole loves to go forward. Some, you know, if he's back in the lineup, somebody's got to stay back. You can't leave Daniel Sturridge there all alone.
That should be Yella Van Dam. Van Dam is the guy who stays back. I know everybody's really upset and disappointed to hear that, but for the most part, except on set pieces, where of course you're going to get height in there, and that's not unknown for center backs, but you shouldn't see Van Dam running down the middle of the field getting forward all the time. And in Bruce Arena's years, he really looked for the width to be provided by those outside backs. And with Ashley Cole, you get that. And I think with Nathan Smith, you get that. And realistically, when I say box to box, Kevin, he's not a midfielder, so he's not running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But he is picking his times to get forward and be able to make those crosses. And he's that guy who isn't afraid to get forward and also work back. But you're right. Somebody has to stay back and guard the flag. That should be Yella Van Dam. And sometimes I think Yella forgets that.
Yeah, I love Yella, and he's by far the best player on the team, and there's no way I'm ever going to knock Yella. But I had, you know, he does push forward. I've seen him a number of times, like a cop chasing a bank robber, running after a defender on a break. A lot of times he catches up, but he does play on the other side of midfield quite a bit, seems to me.
Yeah, he does, absolutely. Let's go with, I think we have two more questions here. Let's see. This is from, it's Curran Daily, or Daily Curran. He says, with Legette injured, the Galaxy's depth is further hurt by the injury. How does Cardinalfo continue to weather the injury storm? Kevin, do they have some reasonable backups? I think we've sort of gone over all the scenarios, but I mean, if there's going to be an injury in the midfield's probably the only place the LA Galaxy have a reasonable depth set up there.
Yeah, but again, the lack of someone who can play centrally. I don't think Mandiola can play in the center. Husidic can play there, but again, he's more sort of a carbon copy of João Pedro. I may be wrong, but it seems like he's more of a defensive midfielder than a guy that's necessarily going to push forward. They're set on the wings. They got tons of wingers, but with both Sebastian and Germain out, if Germain's out, and I'm not saying he is, I mean, I'm just guessing 90 minutes in Panama, he's going to be gassed after Tuesday night. So if they did have to replace Legette and Jermaine Jones, yes, that's the one place where they have depth, but unfortunately they don't have depth centrally in an attacking role. And so, maybe if Gio plays, maybe does he fill that role? It doesn't seem like a natural spot for him, but if Zardes is back and plays with McBean, say, up front,
right?
I think they have people that play that position and have that position after their name. I don't know that they necessarily fit into the formations that Kurt Anofo has thrown out there. So maybe you change the formation. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe you approach this game a little bit differently, given the personnel that you have healthy.
Yeah, it is. Listen, I think that there is going to be an interesting lineup if Jermaine Jones can't go. And, you know, realistically, I'm not even sure that if, you know, Sebastian Legette played 90 minutes in Panama, that you would realistically expect him to go and be ready for a game Saturday in Vancouver. I don't think it's necessarily even an age thing. The age thing comes into factor just in the fact that you don't want to continue to push that and try to get more out of him whenever it's relatively short-term game and possibly long-term hurt if something happens to Jermaine Jones. So for me, you know, err on the side of caution, kind of regardless who it was that comes back. If it wasn't a midfielder, if this was Jossie Zardes and he was playing up top as a striker in Panama for 90 minutes, maybe you would say, hey, yeah, for sure, he can go 90 minutes on Saturday. He's gonna make it. But I mean, even Zardes plays in the midfield for the U.S. And so if that happens, you know, with a midfielder going back and forth and putting in a 90-minute effort, that's a lot of running and it's going to be very hot. And that's taken a lot out of those guys. So, again, interesting to see who will be available, and we'll continue to keep an eye on that. The Thursday night live show will be covering, obviously, everything that happened, the game all the way back to Real Salt Lake. We still have to recap that one on Thursday, and then of course we're looking ahead to that Vancouver game, so we'll have more updates for you on the Thursday night live show. Yeah,
you know, I needed to say, when you're talking about the different lineups and guys coming back from injury, kudos to Kurt Onofo, because I think he's done a great job managing these injuries. Now we'll see when the guys come back if in fact this is true, but it seems to me he didn't rush Ashley Cole. He didn't rush Jossie Zardes. Both of those guys were training. Jossie, for sure, could have probably gone to Real Salt Lake. But, you know, the idea was, if they're ready, let's give them one more week off. In fact, with the international break, they're going to get 2 weeks off. You know, we still have 31 games to go. Let's make sure these guys are healthy for 31 and not just for one. That's kind of why I expect them to do the same thing with Jermaine and Sebastian. This is a guy who is coming into a very high-profile situation. Everybody is watching. It's not like he took over, you know, the Columbus Crew. He's in the media market of L.A. He's got the best team in the league. He's got the, you know, the glamour team in the league. He's replacing Bruce Arena. There's a lot of reasons for Kurt Onofo to just push everybody out there and just go balls to the wall every week. But he hasn't. He's held back. I think he's very aware that a lot of people aren't going to remember in August what happened in March. And Jossie Zardes said these points count just as much as the ones in August. But, you know, Kurt Onofo wants the team to be healthy at the end of the season. The idea is kind of tread water, do the best we can. Now, I think he's been smart. And I my guess is it's been extremely tough knowing how long he's waited for this job and how much he wants to succeed and how much he kind of needs to succeed. So, you know, kudos to him. And we'll see if it worked out. You know, if these guys step on the field and they're hurt again, then maybe he wasn't as smart as I thought he was. But it looks like he's doing a great job managing these injuries and being patient, which is really hard to do in his position.
Yeah, it'll be, again, the availability for these guys and exactly how it happens, that's going to be, I think that's sort of the story that goes for the rest of this week, is who's going to be available, who's going to be back playing, and realistically, what kind of lineup the LA Galaxy can put together with the injury to Legette and most likely his missing the game, you know, with Jossie Zardes and Ashley Cole coming back, with Yella Von Dom obviously coming back into the starting lineup after his suspension, Brian Rowe and Clemente Yup. Those are all the storylines of this week and stuff that we will continue to sort of go. All right, Kevin, I think that about does it for us. We've already kept you way longer than I wanted to, but glad we could do it. The Jermaine Jones looks likely, and I think you've already said it, to play in the U.S. men's national team's game in Panama City against Panama on Tuesday night. So everybody can sort of keep an eye on that and follow at KBaxter11 on Twitter. He will have updates from that game. He's down there braving the weather and the assault weapons. So, Kevin, stay safe down there. Anything else you want to say before you get out of here?
No, I think we're good.
All right, there we go. All right, again, if you're looking for Kevin Baxter, it's at KBaxter11 on Twitter. And, of course, go to latimes.com, where you can find all of Kevin's soccer writing covering the U.S. men's national team, the LA Galaxy, LAFC, all those things right there for you, easy to find. If you're looking for me on Twitter, at Jay Gessman, JGUESMAN, and of course at Galaxy Podcast, that's me. And please go on over to Corner of the Galaxy, where you can find cornerofthegalaxy.com, where you can find all of our live shows, all of our news articles, all of our coverage. All right, that does it for Mr. Kevin Baxter in Panama. I'm Josh Gessman from Corner of the Galaxy Studios. Have a great one, everybody. We will catch you next week.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy From the Box podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.